To hear all the clips of the show like this and more, please sign up to our weekly Nolan newsletter at bbc.co.uk/Nolan. Now, Cecil the Lion. The coverage continues. The story continues because there's been worldwide outrage over his killing 13-year-old animals who... The 13-year-old animal, who was a major tourist attraction in Zimbabwe, was killed as part of a paid hunt. Walter Palmer, the driller killer, as he's been known, because he was a dentist, is thought to have paid around £35,000 to kill the lion. It's led to an online backlash from thousands, including many high-profile celebrities, as well as protests outside his dental practice. It's thought Mr. Palmer is in hiding for his own safety. Andrew McVeigh's with us this morning, as is John Carmody from the animal activist group ARAN. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning. Thanks for having us on.
Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. What do you make of this, Andrea?
Well, like everybody else, I'm outraged. I think it's a terrible thing. I mean, I don't think any right-thinking person could feel anything other than outrage. What worries me is that there's been a lot, anything that is whipped up on the internet, and there's been like a hate storm really whipped up on Twitter, especially about this thing. The guy's closed his dental practice. It could affect his staff, not least his patients as well. But the thing is, also in the news, we're hearing about migrants being killed in Calais, you know, falling off lorries and being hit by lorries, trying to get into the UK or trying to seek a new life. And it just seems to be that there's more emphasis placed on Cecil the Lion, which is a terrible thing, rather than, I think it was like 8 migrants killed in the past month when this terrible, terrible situation that's happening in Calais. There's something sort of not quite right about that. Surely we should be caring more about human lives if we have to judge than animal lives.
You think we should be judging animal lives as nothing?
No, not at all. And I said I can't see any right-thinking person who isn't appalled by what happened to Cecil the Lion. I mean, it was absolutely disgusting. But when 8 people died, if you had to, why is there more attention being paid? Certainly on Twitter, because social media sort of whips up these things into storms. Why is more attention being paid on it? Why is the hashtag trending there on Twitter as opposed to 8 human beings who are fleeing their country, who want a better life and who have been killed in the process, whether by accident, whether they've fallen off a lorry, whatever has happened? Why is Cecil the Lion trending as a hashtag and not the terrible state of these migrants?
Yeah, well, 2 wrongs don't make a right. There are some people who say it's just an animal.
Well, I mean, some people will say that, yes, that's true, and won't see what all the fuss is about. I mean, I think most people are horrified by it. If there's a choice between letting an animal live its natural life or its natural a life as it can live in a game reserve, as opposed to killing it, I think most people would choose to have the animal alive. There's no doubt about it. Hunters make a small proportion of even people who go on safari in Africa. But what happens if the hate mob on Twitter becomes a real life hate mob and attacks this dentist?
You see,
or petrol bombs his office, and that means all his staff are out of work.
I mean, here's all I would say, just to temper this slightly, right? For all of these people who are rightly outraged at how this lion was killed, like, it was barbaric. It was absolutely ridiculous and unnecessary. And there's no real debate around that. Like, it's just crazy. Okay? So that's a given. But all of these people who are absolutely outraged, I wonder how many of them are walking into a supermarket and they're lifting up a big chunk of meat that's put onto the plastic plate and it's wrapped in nice little clean film. Nice little clean wrapper. And are they thinking about how those chickens, those cows, those other animals, clearly if they're not vegetarian, how they were killed?
But I suppose, I mean,
Is there a certain hypocrisy from quite a lot of us meat eaters here, Claire, that because this was a lion on the other side of the world and was a famous lion, well, it's outrageous to kill it. Like, how are we killing sheep and cows for a steak and our lamb? How are we doing that? I actually don't know. And I eat buckets of it.
But the point is that I think people object to the pleasure that hunters get from it. So if it's the same with fox hunting. People object to it because people are making a sport out of it, and that's wrong. People aren't making a sport out of animals being killed in an abattoir for our consumption. That's sort of something different, and a lot of people rightly complain about the sort of situation and the circumstances of those deaths. But I think it's when people are get pleasure out of it and take it as a sport and some sort of game and something that, you know, they can feel proud of. I think that's what has made people feel revolted.
I'll come to you in 1 second, John, I promise, but I want to speak to Linda who's just called us. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. How are you?
Go ahead, Linda. I'm doing all right.
Good. I'm just going to take something up there that the lady said about the immigrants. The immigrants know what they're doing when they're rushing the Eurotunnel and they're jumping off back of lorries and trucks and all the rest of it. The lion was an innocent animal minding his own business, going about his daily routine when he was shot out with a bow and arrow. So you can't make a comparison between the immigrants who are running and creating havoc and all the rest of it. And we all feel sorry for them. But for to say that there's a differentiate between the lion and immigrants, I don't know where she's coming from.
Yeah, I think the point is, though, that the world is more worked up over a lion than it is about human beings, Linda.
Well, I think the point is that this immigrant thing has been going on for years and years and years and years. From a lion who, somebody paid $35,000 or pounds to kill this poor animal. You know, you have to get it into perspective, really. And I appreciate her point of view. Everybody's entitled to their point of view. I just sort of thought to myself this morning, my goodness, how can you make, you know, she said about people falling off lorries and trucks and all that. Yes, that's okay. But if you put it in our hand, the lion wasn't doing any harm, wasn't hurting anybody, wasn't annoying anybody, wasn't jumping off the back of trucks and things. So you have to sort of sit back and put it into perspective.
Go on, Andrea. John will come to you in a second.
Well, I mean, you know, these migrants are still human beings. And the point is that all over Twitter, the hashtag Cecil Lion is trending. There's more words being said about a lion that has been killed rather than eight human beings have died. And, you know, whether you agree with the what they're doing or not, or I still think it's a terrible situation that people are dying and a lion gets more coverage than actual human lives that have been lost in whatever circumstances.
Well,
John Kermody, what are your thoughts around this?
Oh, of course. Well, I suppose, first of all, I got to say that we've got absolutely no sympathy for Walter. He's a man that's on the run at the minute as we speak. He's in hiding. I think he's hanging his head in shame, and he's probably now, you know, living in, you know, absolute mortification and disgust because worldwide attention is basically against him. And he put a €55,000 dollars bounty on Walter's head, and people are like speaking out against this now. So yeah, I think he gets what he deserves for sure.
Let's see if we can speak. We're not sure if he'd be able to hear us too well this morning, but Mike Angelides is the executive officer of the African Professional Hunters Association. Morning to you, Mike.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. You can help us hear us. Tell us what you do then. What your organisation does, first of all.
Well, our organisation is a membership organisation of professional hunters around Africa. We only accept people with 10 or more years experience at dangerous game and who have to follow our strict guidelines on the code of ethics and ethical hunting.
So tell me this, what pleasure do you get out of hunting and killing rare animals?
Well, it's not a question of the pleasure we get. It's about the good that the hunting of the animals does. You know, it's everybody's own opinion on what they do and why they hunt. But I think it's more of a question of the monetary gain and the utilization of blocks that would be otherwise vacant and open to poachers if there wasn't hunting there.
Well, you're talking about a necessary culling of animals there, which is completely different than hunting animals for sport. So does your organisation not hunt for sport? You don't hunt rare animals then, no?
No, we don't hunt rare animals. We hunt animals that are legally allowed to be hunted. They're not rare animals. Rare animals are protected by CITES and such.
Do you hunt lions?
Lions are not rare.
Do you hunt them?
Yes, we do, yes.
And a lion, what's more beautiful, Mike? Just help me understand this to get inside your head. What's more beautiful, a lion strolling with his pride in the wild, or a lion's head on a wall?
Again, that's somebody's open to somebody's own opinion. What is of interest to us is preserving the lion, and by hunting a lion, a legal of age lion, a male that's past his breeding prime. By hunting that lion, you're preserving his habitat for future generations. The areas that we hunt are not viable for photographic tourism. So therefore, if they weren't hunted, if these areas were not hunted, they would be left vacant and be utilized by pastoralists and loggers and such, and therefore the lion would have no habitat.
John, do you want to speak to Mike?
Look, Mike, you're coming on the air and you're obviously, you're telling people nothing but nonsense. I mean, I think anyone who has a shred of decency inside of them will can clearly see through what you're saying this morning. Everything that you've said is absolute nonsense and is an insult to Cecil and so many other animals who have been killed. But what you're saying is absolutely wrong. You do nothing but get like sick kicks off of hunting animals.
Well, not at all, because we, there are 19% of Tanzania, for example, the national park, and they sustain themselves. Now, if you look at the rest of Tanzania, we have game controlled areas, game reserves, and open areas, and these areas need to be utilized and need to have a value. Game needs to have a value for the locals. If there's no value to the game, then the locals will just use that land for their own farming or cattle herding.
No, what I would say to Mike on that is that, you know, a lot of your clients have a lot of money, and they're the ones that put bounties, like such as Cecil, $55,000 is put on top of this is animal's head.
Well, Mike, I haven't asked you yet. Sorry, but Mike, I haven't asked you yet. Do you think it was right what happened to Cecil?
By all accounts, from what I understand, no. This was a lion that was brought out of the national park and tempted out of the national park to be shot, which is unethical. It wasn't fair chase.
What is a fair chase?
A fair chase is a lion in a hunting area that has a fair chance of escape.
It's not a level playing field, though, is it? You know, the lion doesn't have a gun, for example.
Sorry, say again?
It's not a level playing field. The lion doesn't have a gun.
No, yes. Well, obviously, no, he doesn't have a gun.
So what's fair about it?
The fact that the lion is able to run away and he's not beckoned into the person he's pursued. The high-powered weapon is to facilitate a quick death.
You know, some people might suggest, Mike, that people like you are cards. Because what you do is you shoot from a safe distance, way, way back. You're not in danger. You shoot and you kill an animal. Then you call it fair.
Yes, we obviously animals are killed from a distance away. But then again, you know, we're going back into the subject on why people hunt and not why hunting is sustainable.
Well, no, I guess I'm much more interested, Mike, in why people hunt. I'm interested, like, for example, do you kill elephants as well?
Tanzania does allow the hunting of elephants, yes.
Have you killed an elephant?
In my career, I've been hunting 25 years, yes.
And how did you kill that elephant that you killed?
It wasn't me. I'm a professional hunter. I guide my clients actually killed elephants.
How did your clients kill an elephant? What did they do?
Well, we tracked it for several days and ascertained that it was an old bull and of size to be taken, and he shot it.
You shot it? How many times do you have to shoot an elephant to kill it?
It's one shot.
And explain to me what the... That would be at a long distance, would it?
No, elephants live in, you know, a lot of people's perception of Africa is the wide open Serengeti, which it's not like. Elephants and other animals in these hunting areas is live in quite thick and brush scrub areas. And typically you're 20, 30 meters away from the elephant.
And so at a distance of 20 or 30 meters, you know, the powerful human... And you've described this as a fair chase, by the way. But the powerful human with a weapon shoots an elephant in the head. Explain to me the pleasure that you or your client... I know the pleasure you get out of it. You get money out of it. What pleasure does your client get out of it?
Well, let's look at the pleasure that the country gets out of it, because they get also money out of it, which goes to anti-poaching to protect the elephant in areas that otherwise, if they weren't hunted, there would be no protection for the elephant.
Say that again.
Look, you're looking at the protection that by the death of one elephant, the money that brings in protects other elephants. And if you didn't have hunting, you'd have a country like Kenya with no hunting and lost 70% of its wildlife.
I'm clearly naive, because I thought elephants would have been protected as well, Mike. So they're not an endangered species either, no?
No, they're not classed as endangered. They're not classed as critical at the moment. No. Obviously, there's no hiding the fact that the poaching is rampant and terrible. But when you look at protecting an animal, it takes money, and you know, if you can't raise the money to protect the animal, how do you raise money? Hunting raises money to protect the species.
Yeah, that's protecting species from people like you, isn't it?
No, we're the ones who are raising the money to protect the species.
You're the ones that are shooting elephants in the head.
Yeah, so one elephant dies and you get $20,000 to protect an area for the rest of the elephants. It's a renewable resource if conducted properly. When the poaching is rampant, you know, that's our real battle. I mean, if you look at the people going to national parks with the photographic companies, those photographic companies don't have anti-poaching units. But if a tourist goes, he pays $60 a day to go into national park, and that protects a square mile for a day. A hunter goes into a hunting area, he's protected that whole area for 2 or 3 months.
And would your clients bring so-called trophies back home? Would they bring...
Yes, they take trophies. They take their trophy back home with them, yes.
Like what?
Like whatever they may shoot. They take the head and the skull and the horns and the skin, and it gets mounted, as you would have seen.
Of an elephant or a lion?
Yes.
How do you get the head off? Who cuts the head off?
We have professional skinners that skin the animal. And then the skin is preserved and later on tanned. It's leather and it's treated as leather.
How much do you charge for this, for killing an elephant?
It depends on the whole safari package, but an elephant can bring to the country up to...
Not to the country. How much do you get?
Well, it depends on what the scenario that the client comes.
So let's say a dentist calls you up, Mike, and says, you know what,
yes,
I want to shoot an elephant today. How much do you get? How much do you charge?
I charge for my service.
How much? What kind of money's involved?
Well, you can search that on the internet and find out.
But
what I charge really, really doesn't matter.
Are you embarrassed to tell us?
No, not at all.
So why would I look at the internet? You tell me. You're the man charging. How much do you charge to kill an elephant?
Well, the government charges. I charge for his bed night, which is between $500 and $600 per day.
So that's your rate, $500 or $600 a day?
It depends on his package, on how long he's going to spend.
Does that include the kill?
No. The kill... And the conservation fees and the area fees all go to the government, and that'll be upwards of £30,000.
And is there a bonus if you kill an animal? Like, do you get a bonus? Is there, you know, is there some type of incentive to actually kill the animal, financial incentive?
No, all the money from the actual trophy fee goes to the Tanzanian government, wildlife department.
Yeah, but there is a, so there is a financial incentive, but it goes to the government. So there's a financial incentive to find that animal and to kill it.
Well, the financial incentive is to be able to protect the area that if you didn't kill that animal, would be left vacant, and then there would be no money. You know, protecting animals takes money. If there's people out there that want to come and take over an area and protect it and not hunt it, they're also welcome to do that. That's an available option.
Yeah, I guess the other thing, Mike, is that part of your logic today is that actually what you do helps to protect animals because you bring in a greater amount of money that will do a greater good, despite the fact that you help people shoot elephants in the head. Part of your logic is that you actually protect elephants because you're bringing in revenue to protect elephants. You know, surely, and
protect the habitats, not only elephants, but, you know, there's 50 different game species in Tanzania, so you're protecting everything all the way down to the dik-dik and the birds and the ducks and even the trees in the area.
Of the 50 species that you just mentioned there, how many can you help people kill?
Around 30, 35.
You don't think that rather than helping people kill animals, it might be better to raise revenue through a charity?
Well, there's several big organisations doing that, as I'm sure you're aware.
Yeah.
But they raise money indeed. But how many people are going to give? I mean, you know, in many ways, you could look at it as exploiting the hunter who wants to kill an animal.
What's the difference, Mike? I understand the legal difference because you're not breaking the law, so that's a given. But what is the difference from a drug dealer, a heroin dealer, who is peddling drugs to ruin people's lives, which eventually kills them, and out of his profits from his drug dealing, he gives some of the money to a rehabilitation unit? What's the difference from a drug dealer giving some of his gains to a rehabilitation unit and you helping people shoot animals and then you give some of the money to helping save animals? What's the difference?
Well, it's a renewable resource that we're harvesting trophies. We're harvesting animals, which are not just any animal. It's trophies. It's older breeding, non-breeding males.
And you're sure it's not sick to call animals trophies? You sure that's not sick?
Sorry?
It's not sick to call animals trophies?
Well, that's the term used for the last 200 years, so I don't know what other term to use for them.
Okay. Mike, really appreciate your time today. Thank you.